This is Zone About Town on 104.5 The Zone. Good morning and thanks for being with us. This morning we're discussing identity theft and how to protect yourself from becoming a victim. Barbara Dabb continues now with her guest, Adam Levin.
I'm speaking with Adam Levin. He's the founder of Identity Theft 911, and this is National Protect Your Identity Week. So, you know, we've been hearing a lot of horror stories. Give us some tips for how we can protect ourselves, Adam, because, you know, you could really get a little paranoid, and rightly so, but there has to be some way that we can enjoy some of the fun of social networking or be able to send out emails and you know, interact with people online and still be safe. So give us some of your top five that might be helpful.
Okay, and I kind of put these in sort of two-word bullet points to make everybody sort of, you know, feel more comfortable with it. The first thing is shred it. And that is, look, identity thieves, they love to crawl through garbage. They love it. I mean, this is like one of the big ways that you can actually find a ripe victim, if you'll excuse my pun.
Right.
So you need, first of all, you need a cross-cut shredder. Because if you get a ribbon-cut shredder, it only, you know, cuts up and down. And there have been case after case after case in many states where people hopped up on meth have taped the documents back together again, A, because they're very focused, and B, because there's a big win at the end of the rainbow with that.
Sure.
So get a cross-cut shredder, which essentially pulverizes it or turns it into confetti, and shred everything with your name and address, such as statements, invoices, receipts, return address stickers, envelopes that may have your name on it, catalogs, pre-approved credit card offers, and what I lovingly refer to as the crack cocaine of the credit industry, which is the convenience check. Because if someone gets their hands on convenience checks that you get from a credit card company, they can just sign it and use it.
Right.
And they think it's you. And you end up paying some ungodly sum of interest for something that's not yours in the first place. So if you have tax statements or other financial statements you don't need anymore, don't have them lying around. Shred them.
Okay.
So the second thing is wallet. Wallet up. And that is, encrypt your emails and computer files if it contains any personal or account information. Get the most sophisticated firewalls or antivirus or anti-spyware programs that are out there. And remember, getting it and not making sure that you update it is like becoming a member of a gym and never showing up.
Right.
Sounds good, doesn't work. Also, people now are using their phones more and more to do banking and all sorts of other things, and they seem to think that the smartphone is invincible. But yet, the same kinds of protections you want to put on your computer, there are applications to put those kinds of protections on your smartphone. And I'm less worried about the applications that are on there that someone could break into, and more concerned about the fact the other data you have on phones or the weakness of the passwords you create so that anybody, a five-year-old, could figure out what the password is and then get on your phone and then crawl into your personal data, could make you vulnerable. So use strong passwords. Now, a strong password isn't your birth date, your mother's maiden name, the date you met your girlfriend, the street you live on, or your pet's name. A strong password has a number, a word, a symbol, and you mix it up and you change it every so often. And what you absolutely do not do is you do not share passwords between your email account, your financial accounts, and your social networking accounts. Because then if somebody gets one through social networking, they now have all of them, because people do have a tendency to kind of just stick with something they're familiar with.
Sure.
So you've got to do that. The third thing I say is lock it, and that is that awful lot of people have a great deal of information with personal identifying information on it lying around the house or in their office somewhere by their computer. And you've got to get your head in a whole nother mindset, which is if you work with somebody, if they work for you, if they're a family member or a friend, don't automatically assume that whatever you put out there is automatically protected because these are your buddies. There are an awful lot of people that have bad intentions that would love to get their hands on your information. Family-related identity theft is huge in this country. It's bigger than we even know, for the simple reason that an awful lot of people don't even report family-related identity theft because they can't bring themselves to turn in a family member.
Right.
So be careful about that. Lock it up. or make sure that it's in a very secure location that only you know about. My fourth tip is check it, which is go once a year at minimum to annualcreditreport.com, the government-mandated site where you're entitled to a free copy of your credit report from each of the three credit reporting agencies. Some states, like Georgia, actually require consumers to get free credit reports more than once a year. And even if you have to pay every so often for a credit report,
it's worth it in the long run.
This is your asset. Your identity is your asset. You know, when people think about portfolios, they think about investments. But they don't think about the fact that another portfolio you have is your identity portfolio. And your identity portfolio, this is you. This is your investment in you. You've got to manage it, nurture it, and protect it. Because at the end of the day, if it's a solid and healthy portfolio in terms of the credit portion of it and your investment portion of it, you can destroy both of those if someone gets their hands on your identity portfolio, and that's because you didn't protect it, because you didn't look at credit reports, you didn't get possibly credit and fraud monitoring, which is available through many different institutions at different prices, some that are unacceptable in terms of how much they cost, some that may well be acceptable. You know, you decide what your threshold is for how much you're willing to pay. But the bottom line is you really need a program out there that's watching out for you, as well as personal habits. Like, if you're going to check your email, heaven knows how many times a day, and you're going to go on your Facebook wall every minute that you're not doing work, tell me why you wouldn't take a few minutes to go online and look at your bank account, your credit card accounts, and make absolutely sure that every transaction you see is your transaction.
Sure.
Because this is an early warning sign for identity theft, and nobody understands your habits or your transactions better than you do.
Right.
So it's one thing to say, oh, my bank using the Falcon system or whatever, they're going to find an anomaly and they're going to let me know. Bottom line is you should be looking. You should set up programs with banks where you get either an email or a text that notifies you when you hit certain milestones in your accounts, either if your credit account is moving up rapidly. You could set it at different numbers so you know and you'll say, wait a minute, I haven't been spending like this, or suddenly an account appears, or with your bank account that it's suddenly going down rapidly, and you say, wait a minute, I haven't been spending. So let them notify you, and you also take the initiative and check it out yourself. It's very important. It's simple, and that's cheap. That's free.
Yeah.
Go online and look.
Yeah.
And then the last thing is zip it, and that is keep your mouth shut. Protect your information. Rein in your fingers as they happily dance across a keyboard. People are just giving away way too much information about themselves, albeit online, on the phone, or in person. Don't give your Social Security number to anybody that really doesn't give you a good reason why they should see your Social Security number.
Right.
In most cases now, you can ask for a unique identifier. Depending upon whether it's a healthcare organization or a university, you can request it, and in most cases, they'll do it. A lot of them have already, you know, shifted off Social Security numbers to unique identifiers. If you get a phone call from somebody who claims they're from the security department of your credit card company, thank them, hang up, look on the back of your credit card, look at the number, call the number, speak to customer service, ask to speak to security, and then as long as someone's asking you questions and you've initiated the phone call so that you know who they are, that's okay.
Right.
And what happens is some people will skim your credit card and they'll get two of the three critical pieces of information. They'll get your credit card number and they'll get your expiration date, and they'll even call you. And they'll say, hey, listen, this is your credit card number, right? And you go, yes. And they say, Barbara, okay, now, this is your expiration date, right? Then they go, okay, now, just to make sure you're you, what's the security code on the back of your card?
Mm.
Your response should be, hey, you're the bank, you're the credit card company, you should be telling me.
Right.
So as a result, no, not going to happen, but I will call you back on the phone number listed on the credit card. So, I mean, these are the kinds of things where we must take charge of our information. I know.
So it's a little healthy suspicion, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, this is certainly, oh my gosh, so much to take in, Adam. And, you know, I feel like Big Brother is really here. But this has been such helpful information because really, I think most of us think we're kind of invincible to some of this, or we don't believe that this stuff really goes on. And obviously, from what you're telling us, it does go on. So I appreciate it. I've been speaking with Adam Levin. He's the founder of Identity Theft 911, and this is National Protect Your Identity Week. So some wonderful five tips. Adam, if people want to get more information or contact you, do you have a website where they can get some info from,
from
you?
Absolutely. The education portion of Identity Theft 911 is identitytheft911.org. That's .org. It's updated daily, white papers, newsletters, investigative reports, identity theft trends across the country, statistics, daily alerts, and people can come. Love to have them. I think there's a great deal of information there. And again, if I were going to sum this up, there are people out there that tell you that you can 100% protect yourself against being a victim of identity theft. Don't buy that. That's not true. The reality is that with somewhere between 10 and 15 million people a year becoming a victim of some form of identity theft that we know of, and we don't know a lot of the medical identity theft, and we don't know a lot of the child identity theft, and we don't know a lot of the family identity theft, but with that number, it is highly likely you will become a victim. So there are the things you need to do are, A, you need to make sure that you limit the amount of exposure that you have, which means you have to educate yourself and be as really up-to-date on what's going on and the kinds of things you need to do as possible. The second thing is you need some mechanism in place, whether it's certain procedures that you personally take in terms of checking things daily and being aware of things, or getting a credit and fraud monitoring program so that you're alerted, or email or texting by your financial institution when your accounts hit certain milestones. And the third thing is to have a damage control program in place. If, unfortunately, you do become a victim, how are you going to deal with it? The problem is if you try to deal with it yourself, other than if it's just a simple call up the credit card company, change the number, that's one thing. But if it becomes more complicated, you need a professional organization with you. Many banks, insurance companies, credit unions, employee assistance programs, and universities even have programs that are available to you. Some might cost you a little bit of money as an endorsement to an insurance policy, or you might have to buy a particular program, but many others as a perk of membership or as a benefit for being a customer or an employee benefit give it to you. So what you need to do is check with your insurance agent, check with your employee assistance administrator, check with your bank or a credit union, because you may be pleasantly surprised that a program is there in place and available to you.
Right. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Adam. It's really a pleasure. I'm a little freaked out, but on the other hand, I at least know I now have some tools for protecting myself and my family and my kids and giving them the information that they need also to protect themselves. So we're not invincible, and the internet is definitely not always our friend. So I appreciate your giving us all this information. So everybody, now you got your walking papers. Go home, take care of business, okay? You got your five tips, good luck to everybody.
Zone About Town is a public affairs presentation of 104.5 The Zone. As always, your input, comments, and topic suggestions are welcome. Go to 1045thezone.com and tell us about the issue you'd like to hear about on Zone About Town from 1045 The Zone.